right, y'all. Get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. I'm one of your hosts, Mr. David Coker, proprietor of Dave Mark, Inc., also promoter, marketing specialist, and all-around good guy. I'm sitting with my partner, Mr. Leonard Young. What's going on, sir?
Hey, everything is good, Dave. This is Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guide, DelawareBlack.com, black media specialist, and all-around good guy. David, how goes it?
Well, it goes. I mean, you know, here we go. It's Tuesday, and you know, he saw fit to bring us through to another show, and I guess I can't complain. Though the weather has been kind of interesting.
It's been decent.
Yeah. Did you have a big weekend? Did you do anything exciting?
Yeah, so actually the one thing I did do, one of my fraternity brothers, one of my alpha brothers, they had a wine tasting at their house over the weekend. And, you know, I mean, I've never been to a real wine tasting and, you know, they did a great job in their backyard. They made it as real as could be. But, you know, just learning about the different wines, it's like, okay, you know, of course, you know, I drink wine, liquor, beer and all that. But, you know, just kind of hearing the background about some of them, the wines are on a point system. So the higher the point, the better quality of the wine. So we had some wines that were 94 and 95 point wines, which are supposed to be kind of, you know, close to the top. So, you know, it was just interesting learning about it. So, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah,
that was probably the highlight of my weekend.
I've been to a couple of wine tastings, but it's funny, I don't drink, so I never tasted the wine. But do you actually taste the difference in the wines?
Yeah, I mean, some of them you do. You know, so we weren't professionals. So one thing he said there is like normally, you know, after you drink a wine, you'll kind of like rinse your mouth out with water, just, you know, just so you're not putting, you know, all different wines and not being able to tell the difference. So some of them did run together, but some of them were distinctly different. And I also think it might have been the power of mind control. Or in fact, Dave, have you seen that movie Inception?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you know how it's like when people say something to you or put a thought in your mind, it kind of makes it real.
Yes.
So, you know, this one wine, you know, he gave it to us and, you know, I took a sip. And as he was explaining, he's like, yeah, he's like, for this wine, you'll taste a hint of smoked cedar in the wine. And then I'm like, you know what? And then I was like, you know what? I think I do taste that. But yeah, I mean, but then at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you know, after about four or five things of red wine, you know, and, you know, we're not washing our mouth out, you know, they start to run together a little bit and, you know, your buzz start to kick in and people are talking. So all in all, it was a good time. I would definitely try another wine tasting.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. I had to
drink some wine.
I had to do my wine tasting through you. You know,
yeah, I'd be like, there it is.
Yeah, taste that one over there, Leonard. Taste that one. You know,
yeah. So, what about you? You had any big plans this weekend?
No, I didn't do anything this weekend. I had to work on Saturday, like I told you, and I didn't do anything. Wait, did I do anything Saturday? No, I didn't do anything Saturday. I was tired when I got home. And then Sunday, all I did is went to church. So I didn't do anything. So just kind of chilled. So that was good for me because all these days are starting to run together.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, you know, so.
Boy, you ain't never lied.
And, man, we're at the end of August.
Almost. And it's funny, like when we said, like, welcome back to Tuesday, I had to look at the calendar. I'm like, is this the last Tuesday of the month? But we got one more Tuesday
One more. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But I mean, it's crazy. I mean, you know, it's, I tell you, the time just goes by so fast. We were just saying, we were just welcoming 2022, right? Not too long ago.
Was it? Yeah. I remember it.
So,
Black History Month. Yeah, we just did Black History Month, right?
I know. Yeah, Black History Month, and then Juneteenth. We were all excited about that, and Juneteenth came and went, and we can wait to start talking about Turkey Day pretty
No,
soon.
Jesus. Yeah. You're right. It is right around the corner.
Well, I don't know. They were already predicting a lot of people gonna have a lot less food on their tables this year, so
Oh
because they're
yeah, and plus, didn't they say the price of turkey was that one of the prices that skyrocketed?
Well, somebody told me they bought a bag of wings that was like $18. I never paid
Right.
$18 for a bag of wings before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's crazy. I feel like the media is telling us some of everything. I just saw on TV 2 days ago. They said the price of wings is the cheapest it's ever been, and it's actually cheaper than pre-pandemic. And I mean,
That well, where are they buying wings from?
I have no idea. I mean, I just saw it on TV, and I'm not the main grocery shopper, so I couldn't confirm or deny that.
I don't think that's right, Leonard. I really don't. I don't think that's right. I think wings are pretty expensive right now, and I would debate that one. I would have to say, prove it to me and show me where you're shopping. That's what I
Okay,
would
well
say.
here it is. USA Today,
Okay.
chicken wing prices dropped to pre-pandemic levels just in time for football season.
Okay. That makes sense right there. You know what that's all about.
Yeah. Trying to get
So
that extra
football's,
money.
they're trying to get that money. So that's all about. Okay. All right. I'll let you have that because of that. Okay. All right.
Well, no, I mean, facts are facts. I was just stating what I saw.
That makes sense because they tying it in the football season. Yeah. Well,
Right.
whatever. We'll see. We'll see how long that lasts. So,
till they run out of chicken.
I know until we run out of chicken. I know my pastor will not like that. My pastor loves chicken. That's all he talked about all the time. So,
Really? Okay.
if we run out of chicken, he may not be a nice guy to anybody,
Uh-oh.
So, and so I'm just letting you know. So, what are we talking about today? Do you have let's give the people an idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, so I mean, we're talking about a couple of things. So the first thing we're going to talk about is one of the actors from the Game of Thrones spinoff House of Dragons, a black actor who's facing a little bit of racism from fans. We're also going to talk about the first NFT rapper, so that should definitely be interested. And then we're going to talk about the black man who sued Walmart and won for racial discrimination. And then we're going to follow that by a story about a off-campus housing at University of California, Berkeley campus, where they have areas where no white people are allowed. And then, the last one, we're going to have a question that we're going to pose and, kind of, see what answers are, come about it, see what our audience may think as well.
Well, let's get started. Let's see what we're talking about then.
Okay, Dave, are you a House of a Game of Thrones fan?
You know what? I never really got into games.
What?
Yeah, I didn't. I think I probably, I'll be honest with you, my Game of Thrones card probably would be taken because I probably saw one or two episodes.
Okay. All right, so this message right here is for Donna. Please make sure please Donna, please make sure y'all take Dave's black card and just hold it till I say it's good, okay?
Okay, but that's not a black show.
I'm just saying, Dave. I'm just
Okay.
saying. Okay.
All right.
But long story short, so for anyone who's out there who's a Game of Thrones fan, of course they have a new spinoff that recently came out, and I'm going to say it correctly because I heard all the black people say it wrong. The name is House of the Dragon, and so in this series, it pretty much predates Game of Thrones, the Game of Thrones series. Okay, now in the series, there is a black man, and he is one of the, I'll just say one of the lords, which means he rules a kingdom under kind of like the king's kingdom. And a lot of people are taking back to him that he's a black man, a lot of just comments regarding him being black. But, you know, the funny thing about it, and Dave, I'm not sure, have you seen anything about this story yet?
No.
Okay. So the funny thing about this is in the series, he, out of all like the lords under the king, he is the richest lord. He has the biggest and most powerful army. So when I was doing my research, Game of Thrones had just about no black main characters. The two people who kind of stepped up as main characters started out as slaves in Game of Thrones. And then they kind of like, you know, worked their way up through loyalty, through the characters and all that. And then they kind of became semi pseudo, you know, main characters. So the directors of Game of Thrones, they were kind of noticing all the backlash with George Floyd, Black Lives Matter. And even though people hadn't come too hard at Game of Thrones, they wanted to make some changes in this new sequel spinoff. So that's why they made this character black, because in the book, his character was originally played by a white person. But, you know, they kind of wanted to add some diversity to House of the Dragon because, you know, there was not a lot, if any, diversity in Game of Thrones. So one of the things that he said about, you know, the racism, and this is so funny to me, he said, they are happy with the flying dragon, you know, which is fantasy make-believe. They're happy with white hair and violet color eyes. And he said that because a majority of the upper class all have like, you know, blonde, like white blonde hair and violet color eyes. But a black guy, a rich black guy, he said, that's beyond pale. So, you know, it's almost like, okay, they're going to believe the dragon. They're going to believe all these white people with white hair and violet eyes, but they just can't believe there's a rich black guy going around. And one of the statements he said actually had me rolling. In fact, let me just see if I can find it on my Instagram real quick. But Dave, while I'm looking better, you know, it kind of reminds me, and you may have some added thought to it. There's a lot of people in the sci-fi world where we're accepting all these aliens and creatures and, you know, magical powers. But for some reason, black people in the future and the past and sci-fi is still like an anomaly.
That's true. You see that they pop up sparingly in different things. I know there was a big to-do about Idris Elba's character in Thor. Mm-hmm. Amda. Because in the comic books, that was a white guy.
Right.
You know, and so, of course, you know, there was some controversy a few years ago when Michael B. Jordan played the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four. Because here it is, it's a black man playing
right.
somebody that was always seen as a white person. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So,
and, you know, they've toyed around with the idea of doing a black Batman at one time, right. too. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
and of course, James Bond.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
So when you hear about these type of things, and then you look at these worlds that are created, especially Game of Thrones, you know, because this is supposed to be the prequel, right?
Yeah, the prequel, correct. Right.
Yeah, so, you know, when you look at these things, and you know, there had to be people of color around.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
No way that there could be, or everybody looked the same. Just no way, you know? It's just like in the Bible, you know, when you look at the Bible, you know, of course, you know, the big controversy over the years has always been, what Jesus looked like.
Right.
You know? Well, if you were in the sun all day long, and you're in a desert, you know, or near desert conditions, you ain't going to be no lily white person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
Your skin's going to be full of melanin.
Right, definitely. And especially if you're near Egypt and those kind of places, you're going to be a bronze color person, you know, more likely, you know. So, you know, when you see these kind of stories and, you know, people getting upset because they took artistic liberty in making something into more of a real reality type situation. Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you see people react the way that they do. I mean, come on. You know, Bridgerton ain't been the same since that black man left.
Right. Does any black people still watch the show?
There you go. I mean, hey. It was, you know, they try and get the dude to come back, you know, right. So that's what I'm saying. You know, sometime adding some color instead of adding cream, you know, is a good thing, you know. Yeah. And in the case, and Toussaint, I've seen Toussaint in other things, and mm-hmm. he's a great actor. I mean, he really is.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's believable in this part. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure he's believable.
Yeah, so the first episode just came out Sunday, but people have been saying that the scenes that he is in, he kind of steals the scene.
Right, I'm sure.
Now, of course, he is a black guy with this blonde hair, and he has violet eyes in the series too. But still,
yeah. I saw the picture. And I said, because he kind of reminds you of Idris Elba's character.
No, he does on Thor. Yeah.
I just think that, you know, we get caught up in this. Here we go again, talk about colorism again,
right?
And we can't seem to get away from it, right?
It's we probably never will.
Yeah, it's always going to be there, and it's always going to be something that, you know, people, you know, if you know. I remember I had got into a conversation with a guy about a black Superman, because they were talking about when the last guy, what's his name, that played him last, was it Caviezel? What's the guy's name?
I don't know. You got that, Dave.
But the last Superman, the one that was in, you know, that played him last, because I think they got a new Superman there. But there was toying. There was a couple people kind of brought up, well, would they ever cast a black Superman? And I remember reading that in an article, and there was a whole bunch of comments, and no, that would never happen, and why would they do that, and so forth. What's wrong with a black Superman?
Right.
That would be sacrilegious, and you know, why would they have a black Superman? Why would that make any sense, or whatever the case been? Yeah. But why not?
Yeah. I mean, they got the black Captain America.
Yeah, they did. And yeah.
and to be honest, I was shocked by that.
Well, but they were following the comics, because right. they did have comics. So there was they had to roll with it because it happened in the comics. But
right.
Yeah.
So I was gonna say the other thing, that what Toussaint said about it, and I thought this was classy. He said, "I can't waste too much time on some keyboard warriors in their mom's bedroom." So wow. Yeah, he basically saying, of course, he moving on from that. He's not worried about it.
Oh well, yeah, well, you know the nerds, you know they will go in.
Yeah,
they will go in. So. Well, I guess we'll find out what happens. There's only been one episode, you said?
Yeah, yep. So it comes on Sunday nights.
All right. I might have to take a peep since they got a brother in there.
Okay. Now, I do want to say he is married to a white woman, but I mean, okay. You know.
They couldn't let him go all the way, man.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll tell you. Okay. All right. Well, you know, I guess... 50% is better than no percent, I guess, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, all right. Okay, all right. Well, I'll definitely keep an eye out for it. I'll let you know next week, if I saw it or not, okay? All right.
Yep, and Dave, last thing, I just want to throw this in real quick. It made me think of, I don't know if you remember, the girl from Star Wars Moses Ingram also had faced racist comments regarding, her role being a black female in the Star Wars series.
Oh, okay. No, I did not know that, but I do remember going back even a little bit further when they in the original Star Wars movie, not the first movie because I don't think he was in the first one. I think it was
Billy
the
Dee
second one.
Williams.
When he was cast as Lando Calrissian, and a lot of people was like, "Why they got this black man playing this role?" So. But Billy made, Billy was, Billy made it work, though.
Yeah, of course he did. I'm sure.
Him and his Coke 45 malt liquor. He was getting it in. But it's been going on for years, and we just gotta make it do what it do, man. That's what we do. So I'm sure he's gonna have a lot of fans by the time this series is over.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. All right, Mr. Toussaint, is it Toussaint or Toussaint? I think it's Toussaint. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I was very particularly not to say the last name, and you said it
Yeah,
first, and I just rolled with it because I didn't want to mispronounce it.
I think it's Toussaint. So, all right, but we'll be keeping an eye out for you. All right, go ahead and take care of them people in there. Let them know who you are. Okay. So, all right. So what we got next?
So we got your NFT wrapper.
Oh yeah, the NFT wrapper. Okay. Leonard, what is NFT?
Non-fungible tokens.
Right.
See, look at that day. You try to put me on the spot, huh?
No,
Yes, you
I
did.
know.
Yes, you did.
And tell us why that's important these days.
So the biggest thing why NFTs are important is because, of course, they're all digital items and they can never be cloned. So each digital item has a special, almost like a serial number. So that item can never be cloned, duplicated, or I mean, some of them can be copied and looked, but it's kind of like, you can always verify that serial number. So if it's an image that somebody's selling, you can be sure that, if you track that serial number, if it doesn't match up, then it's a replica or a fake.
See, I knew if I asked that question, Leonard would have the answer, y'all. So y'all just got some knowledge about NFTs just then, okay? Because this boy, he's in that. He knows all about this. Matter of fact, he's got a couple of them he ain't told nobody about. But anyway,
Yeah, cause I'm still trying to sell them.
yeah. So, but this story is about it's really getting weird out here, people. I mean, that's what I'm gonna say. It's really getting weird out here. When they said years ago, anything goes in
So
this
they
day
weren't
and life,
lying.
anything goes, man. Anything goes. Matter of fact, we had the first AI, they call it a, AI, artificial intelligence wrapper, who actually is signed to a major deal with Capitol Records and doing very well with Capitol Records. His name is F as in Frank, N as in Nancy, Mecca, MEKA. And I'm sure you're going to hear a lot about this rapper, this AI rapper. He's powered by artificial intelligence. He's already gained a huge following, and he has a single out with one of the top rappers out right now, Gunna. Now, wait, I know if I was a rapper, a real life rapper, and who's on, trying to get on the come up and whatever the case may be. And I've been trying to get on with somebody for a while, get a feature on somebody's song, whatever the case may be. And here comes this AI guy, and he gets a feature. I mean, he gets a single with Gunna. I'd be pissed, wouldn't you?
So is he paying Gunna? Because I mean, you know, I mean, we're talking about money. I'm sure
I'm
Gunna
sure
put a.
being on the label. I can't imagine this happening without him being on the label. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's got to be tied to Capitol Records somehow. Because why Gunna? I mean, unless Gunna is invested in this whole thing. You know, but Gunna is one of the top guys out there right now. Well, when he's not in trouble.
Right. Because he's still in jail, right? Or did he get
out? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When he's not in trouble. But this, get this. FM Mecca has a huge following on social media, including 10 million followers on TikTok.
That's crazy.
Does that make sense?
No. So Dave, you know that we need to hurry up and get our AI-generated person to start doing something.
Something. I mean, come on now. 10 million followers on TikTok already? It says Mecca invites fans into his virtual world, which includes jumbo Bugatti jets, Maybach helicopters, and machines that could turn ice into ice watches. I mean, you know, he's already been interviewed on Double XL magazine. Now, it's funny because when you look at him, he looks like he's black, but they're not saying any particular color, you know. Yeah. But
and they probably never will.
They probably never will, to be smart. But it was created. He was created by a guy named Anthony Martini, sound like an Italian guy, and Brandon Lee. Sure, he's probably got some Oriental roots. So I'm pretty sure those two together. The men are co-founders of Factory New, a virtual record label, who were the first to sign the robot rapper. Now, I think you got it there. You want to hear some of it?
Yeah, you want to play the song?
Well, just play a clip of it, you know.
Okay. So I think when it started out with Gunner's verse, but
was that Gunner that started out? Okay.
Hold on. Damn, why this thing don't want to play?
Oh, it's not letting you.
Let me go to YouTube because I just played it on YouTube, but
I just find the whole thing fascinating. When I saw this, I was like, man, we're holiday
season. Here, I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. Cause it's Gunna, right? I got carriage like a rabbit. Put a sky blue face and an all white patty. Cop another one like DJ Khaled. Can't compete, I might they break it. Two-ton AP presidential Rolex. 19 Rich Millie and a Patek. They ain't gonna lie, they all sound the same.
That's
of course.
That's the way they're all sounding right now.
Yeah, but it's almost right like a mumble rap almost, somebody said.
And they're singing, you know, they're almost singing at the same time. You know what I mean? Capitol Records says that FM Mecca is the first virtual being on the video platform, as well as the first A&R artist to sign with a major label. The single's called Florida Water, featuring Gunna, is being made available to creators to use music virtual rapper FM Mecca, powered by artificial intelligence. That's just crazy. You know, when we heard artificial intelligence coming up, it was scary stuff.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It was like iRobot, where Will Smith and the robots kind of took over.
Yeah. But now we're talking about rappers that aren't real, that come out and get on singles with real rappers and probably
have hit records in a minute.
Yeah. And keep in mind, if this keeps going the way that it's going, we're probably going to have a bunch of AI rappers.
Dave, I'm sure that's why we need to jump on it now. Like ASAP. Yeah. Well, Dave, and you know, it's weird too, because just the way things are going. So not only is he the first NFT rapper, we have people buying real estate in the metaverse. We have people getting married. Don't ask me how. I heard about it. I didn't read the article. But people are getting married in the metaverse. Corporations are buying real estate in the metaverse, like McDonald's, Nike. Celebrities are buying real estate. Snoop Dogg has some, you know, real estate in the metaverse. So, you know, it's just kind of weird how this whole trend is. You know, and they, you know, we talked about those gamers and techies, yeah, and maybe video game nerds, so to speak.
Yep.
They're about to come back in fashion.
Yep, they are. They are. I was watching something on TV and they were showing these tournaments that these guys were playing. I think I told you about this. They were paying for like $25,000, winner take all, and whatever, and everything was being paid in Bitcoin. You know, and I was just like, Bitcoin? They're paying everything in Bitcoin, and then you can see that all these guys had their own AI, you know, an AI character that they play with, mm-hmm, and all of this stuff, you know. And they were using the same character in all the games.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just amazing what the world has come to. Of course, a lot of people blame the Marvel Universe for a lot of this.
You know, I'm sure. Because yeah, that's almost like the so, of course, you know, a lot of football players, and I heard this story, were agreeing to be paid in Bitcoin. But also the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, I believe he also agreed to be paid his salary in Bitcoin. So, I mean, now this was before the crypto market crashed, but, you know, I think even though it crashed, I think with all this happening, like this NFT rapper, you know, there's going to be a comeback period. Like, you know, it's going to bounce back up. And, you know, Dave, you and I missed that first wave, but, you know, hopefully when it, you know, has that second bounce, you know, hopefully we and hopefully other Black people can catch on to it, because, you know, there are a lot of white people making a lot of money off crypto, at least before it tanked. And when it tanked, then, you know, a lot of Black people are like, oh, see, you know, that's why I didn't do it. I told you not to. It ain't make no sense. But, you know, I think we just know the way it's going. Crypto, you know, Bitcoin, all these coins, they're going to come back.
Well, they better, because you got people like Elon Musk had a lot of money tied up in that stuff. So, you know, and I wonder how Mecca gets paid. If Mecca gets paid, does he get paid in Bitcoin? Does he get paid in cryptocurrency? You know,
I mean, all I got to say is as long as he's getting paid, because I guarantee if it's in Bitcoin, it's a lot of money. If it's in crypto, it's a lot.
Yeah, if he's flying around in Bugatti helicopters and stuff like that, he doing all right.
Well, Dave, let me ask this. I didn't hear you say it. Did he get signed for a certain dollar amount?
They didn't mention the money.
Okay.
They did not mention the money. And I'm pretty sure the Capitol Record was smart enough to do that on purpose.
Right.
Because they're going to make a lot of money off of this anyway. I mean, how can they not? You know, and if it's marketed the right way, look, this dude's going to show up on an award show real soon.
Yeah.
One of the, you know, it may be an MTV Awards, it may be something like that or whatever, but or the Kids' Choice Award, he's going to show up on something.
Right, right.
And once he does that, it's like when they did that hologram of Michael Jackson, mm-hmm, you know, and how big they made that and whatever. When this dude hits the stage on a award show, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, and meanwhile, I was reading something yesterday that Chris Brown was complaining that he can't get on an award show for some reason. And he's one of the top entertainers, you know, concert entertainers around. If this dude shows up on the show before Chris Brown does, wow, that's crazy.
But, you know, we already know he's a novelty right now, the NFT guy. So so he's going to be getting more press and more attention probably than anybody else.
Well, Chris need to create his own NFT guy then. So, but I just thought the story was interesting and just tells you the world we're in today. And just look out for Mr. FN Mecca, guys. Look out for him. He's coming your way. All right.
In fact, Dave, maybe we should try to get him on the show while he's still relatively new.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll friend him on. I'll friend him on TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'll be 10 million and one. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. What we got next?
All right. So next, Dave. So let me just play a scenario with you. Have you ever been in a store, particularly Walmart, and felt like you've been targeted by any type of racial or, you know, racial discrimination?
In the past, I've thought that way when they had people that actually worked in the store, you know, because they used to have the people that would be in the store and so forth. They don't have a lot of those people in any of the Walmarts anymore. But yeah, I know what you're saying because I have felt that way in the past.
Okay. How would you like to, for your discomfort, be paid $4.4 million?
I make myself discomfort.
Yes. We say you fully accept that discomfort, huh?
Yeah, that's not a problem. Not a problem for me. I can handle it. Yes.
Okay. So this goes to a story of a black customer who was in Portland, Oregon, and he went to Walmart's to buy a refrigerator light. So while he's in the store, he is, you know, of course, walking around looking for his items. He is followed not by asset protection or security, but by a store employee. So upon confrontation with the employee, you know, he kind of said, okay, like, is there a problem? What's going on? You know, blah, blah, blah. And the guy is just kind of harassing him, you know, kind of just making him feel uncomfortable. The guy tells the black man to leave the store. Of course, the black guy's like, I'm not going anywhere. And he says, if you do not leave the store, I will call the cops and tell them that you threatened to attack me. Black guy, you know, whatever, whatever. This employee, not asset protection or security, calls the police. The police come to the store. And there was actually a video. I probably should have had it queued up. But the video is of the black man holding his cell phone. Or, I mean, he's actually doing the recording and he's recording the officer who came to, you know, check out the situation and the white store employee. And the black guy says to the officer, you know, please tell me the reason why you're here. You know, what is the reason that, you know, you're looking to, or, you know, what is the reason that you were called? And of course, the white guy, since he's kind of on the black man camera, he kind of walks off. And the officer says something similar to like, well, you know, I don't know why he called. You know, I think he just wants you gone because he wants to. And the officer was understanding. It wasn't, you know, any type of, you know, weird action. But the black guy's like, okay, like, you know, this is just so weird. Like, you didn't want me in this store for no reason at all. You called the police. You lied to the police about, you know, why you were calling. So he complained to management. Management did nothing at Walmart, so he went and got a lawyer and he sued. And he was recently awarded $400,000 in non-economic damages and $4 million in punitive damages. Walmart released a statement saying that it does not tolerate discrimination and that the verdict is excessive and not supported by the evidence. So, you know, Walmart, of course, had to pay the money, but they thought it was a little too much money for, you know, the situation. And I'll tell you, I posted this on social media. I saw some other posts on social media. A lot of people were like, you know, I will gladly take that discrimination and unsettling. You know, he was not beat. He was not touched. Yes, they did call the cops. It may have been a big scene there. It may not have. But, you know, $4.4 million.
Yeah, I don't know how high the escalation might have gotten. You know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that, yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would probably say, hey, man, let's go down to the Walmart in such and such a place and let's just walk around the store for hours and see what happens, you know? So, and it's really a shame. You and I were talking before the show, talked about how, you know, there are still certain places that we can't go into for some reason, you know, or that we don't feel comfortable in. So when in this type of situation, this is really a shame that, you know, you gotta learn a valuable lesson because it's coming out of your pocket.
Right.
And what happened? Did it say what happened to the employee?
Let me just see. Nah, it doesn't. I mean, I'm sure the employee was let go, but it doesn't specifically say.
Oh, I'm sure he was. I wonder if he had to give. I wonder if he's paying any of his money. He had to pay them any money. So
they showed a picture of the employee. It don't look like he got a lot of money to give, but you know that's neither here or there.
It might be part of it right there. So
right.
You know, look, we've been doing this show since November, right?
I already know, guys. My answer is every episode.
It's almost impossible to get around every week without a story like this unfolding in some type of way. And we've talked about it just about every week, like Leonard said, in some kind of way or some kind of form. We're in 2022, folks. It's supposed to be a different day and time for us, right? For everybody. Why are we still having stories like this? Why are we still being profiled and or anybody being profiled today? It makes no sense. If you get caught doing it, it's going to cost you a big price if the person's smart enough, like this guy was.
Yeah, he was definitely.
It almost sounds like this dude was like locked and loaded, man. He was like, "Oh, you want to mess with me?
Right.
Okay, I got something for you." You know, and he had his phone out and he's recording everything. You know, he's got the evidence that he needs. And I wonder how long did it took for them to.
So I believe they said that this happened in March of 2020. So it's been a little about 2.5 years.
All right. Okay. So, but even still, I mean, that 4.4 erases all of that.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And but you know, Dave, you brought up a good point because one of the things I saw on social media, some people's comments, they said a lot of lawyers will not touch, you know, cases where you're looking to sue these big companies because, you know, these big companies have unlimited funds. You know, this guy, I think Michael Mangrum, you know, how much money is he going to put up to sue Walmart to a lawyer? And, you know, of course, if they were really going back and forth for 2.5 years, like, can you imagine what their lawyer fees are like too? So
it's probably a third.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just think, this guy went into the store for a refrigerator light bulb.
Right.
That, you know, something that costs less than $5. You know what I'm saying? And he walked away basically 2 years later with $4.4 million. And I guess he did end up getting the bub probably from someplace else, I guess.
Hold on, say it one more time.
I'm sure he got the bug from someplace else. You know,
I don't know. He probably threw that refrigerator away. That refrigerator is no more.
He probably got a smart refrigerator now.
Right.
That stuff. So, yeah, I'm sure. Well, now he's got another problem, though. Now, he thought he was being profiled in Walmart. You know he's being profiled right now. Yeah, everybody on this case now. You know, everybody going to be watching him now. So, you know, so. But that's, well, you know, you want to clap for that story, but it's also one of them tight stories that just makes you go, you know what I mean?
Right. Plus, and that's why I asked the question at the very beginning, because if we think about all the times we have been racially profiled, you know, just maybe even multiple times a day, but, you know, this one definitely worked in his favor.
Yep, it did. It did. I ain't mad at him. Hey, you know, maybe we need to give him a call.
You know. Yeah. So you know, well, now that his suit's over, let's see if he want to come on the show and
come on the show and talk about it. He probably hanging out with Tracy Morgan right about now. So, maybe. You know. Okay. All right. Well, yeah. We might have to do that and see if we can get him on the show. So. You guys are listening to News and Trends with Dave and Len right now. Of course, we always welcome your comments and any feedback that you may have on anything that you hear on our show. We always appreciate it. You know, we will definitely shout you out on the radio. You know, our listeners, you know, all over who listen to us on a regular basis know we definitely like to shout people out. So if you have anything to say about anything that you heard so far, just let us know about it, and we definitely will get it out there to everybody. All right, so since we're looking at profiling as our last story, that takes us into our next story, which is really interesting. Man, I don't know, Leonard. The world is just going mad, right? I mean, you know, it's just a lot of stuff that you just never thought you would ever see in your life, right?
You damn right.
Okay. All right. Well, I think Isaac Hayes just showed up. Anyway, Leonard probably don't know that reference. That's for you older folks out there. Y'all know. Anyway. So I'm gonna read this title to this next story. It says, "White people banned from all campus University of California, Berkeley student housing common areas." Now, you're thinking to yourself, what are they talking about? So, the University of California, Berkeley has a new area off campus that is for minority people. And also people who are gay and, you know, others, that they have set up just for those folks. No white people allowed. Now, I don't know if you guys heard me. No white people allowed. Okay. So now we already know that is not going to go well because, of course, you know, they're supposed to be allowed to go anywhere they want to, really, personally. But in this story, there is a private housing co-op just off the University of California, Berkeley campus, which has banned white visitors in common areas or without consent from other tenants. So the only way you can really get into this place if you're white is if somebody invites you to the place. And there's only certain areas you can go into. Like, you can't go into their rooms. They have certain areas set up for white people. At a white university. You know, well, off campus of a white university, I should say. And it's called Person of Color Theme House, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And
so we already know a black person didn't name that. I'm like, Person of Color Theme House. It makes me think of like the circus or something. But yeah,
well, I guess they're trying to be all inclusive there, you know. So, you know, so if you're not a white person, anybody can be there. You know what I'm saying? Not just black people, but, you know, anybody. So, and I just find it amazing because, of course, they've come under a lot of scrutiny over the whole thing because, of course, they can have all the white places that they want to have, that whites only places. And, you know, we talked about the cities after dark, after sundown, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about the golf courses that still won't let blacks go to them and play. We talked about some neighborhood bars and watering holes, as they call them, that if you walk into and you're a person of color, they're probably gonna it's probably a place that you probably don't want to go into. Let's just put it that way. So, but yet they have a problem with this, and it is an interesting concept. They even talk about, well, they talk about, you know, there's a statement here I'm going to read. Guests are allowed in common spaces, but please be mindful if there are house members in the room beforehand. White guests are not allowed in common spaces. Another rule states, avoid bringing parents, family members that express bigotry. Queer, Black, and Indigenous members should not have to avoid common spaces because of homophobic or racist parents or family members. So they ain't playing with this. They apparently have said, if you fit the criteria, we got a place for you. But then I saw something today that kind of threw a little flip to it. I don't know if you thought about this. Are they trying to put everybody in the same area?
Are you talking about Black, queer, Indigenous?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, flip. Yeah, I mean, they really didn't say. I was assuming that people moved here by choice. So it's kind of like, okay, if I'm choosing, which I'm sure is private housing. So I don't know. I feel like, okay, if I live in this building, I chose to live here.
Right. That makes sense. But what if they're saying, when you come to that school, hey, we got this area over Area 50, Area 51, you mm-hmm. know, we got this area over here off campus that you might be really interested in. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they get everybody who fits that criteria over to that part of the campus to avoid maybe having some problems on the main campus.
I mean, that's going to be a possibility.
Yeah. Because why would a school all of a sudden to say, hey, we're going to have this area for these people?
But remember, it's technically not the school, or at least it's not publicly the school.
Technically not the school. Yeah, because the school is saying, hey, we're not doing this.
Yeah, we're not associated with that.
But the school is supporting it.
Yeah. So this leads me to another question based on what you said. What type of violence, racism, bigotry have these students experienced on campus that they would even want to move, and not say want to move to a place like that, but that they would feel the need to move to a place where they are protected, as it said in one of the, what did it say? Where they are protected from white violence and respect their decision of avoidance. So like, what type of experiences have they had at University of California, Berkeley campus that they feel this is a safe house?
Well, apparently they've had some experience. Now, you know, Cal Berkeley has had some history with racism in the past. You know, okay. It's been one of those schools that's had some issues in the past. So this could be based on some of the things that might be happening in that area where the campus is. And so, so they probably figured how, you know, this might be a good alternative to campus life for these people where they can feel safe and whatever. And Leonard was just reading, by the way, folks, from the guest rules, the house guest rules. It's a little pamphlet that they have there that tells you what you can do when guests, you know, how you can have, like it says, guests limited per house member is 5 guests per house member. All guests must wear masks in common spaces. You know, and then it goes on from there. So there's it's just interesting that this concept came up. But then, like I said, it's unique. I'll be honest with you, I actually kind of like it. But why there and why? What's really behind it? You know, mm-hmm. like I said, that whole flip side thing I just mentioned. What if they're telling people, hey, we got a place for you. You might want to be over here with the other folk, you know? And that keeps all the racial stuff down, you know, because, of course, right now, you don't even have to have a match to start a fire anymore. You know what I'm saying? So they're probably thinking to themselves, okay, we can push everything over here. Then we don't have to worry about it happening on this campus. You following?
I do.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, you know, I just thought it was an interesting story, and I wonder how that's going to work out. Of course, school is starting for a lot of college campuses and so forth. I'm sure we're going to hear more about this as the school year goes along. So definitely want to pay attention to that. I think it's a unique idea. I wonder if other schools will do something similar to this. Well, schools, I shouldn't say schools. Other
like area housing,
around schools.
Well, Dave, let me ask you this question. Let's say this trend catches on, right? And it spreads to other schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say we are in the state of Delaware. Let's say Delaware State had a private housing facility. And one of their rules, so of course, everyone who may or may not know, Delaware State is a historically Black university and predominantly Black. What if one of the rules of this private housing community close to the campus said no Black students allowed in common areas? Or should we say that? Should we say that for another show?
Yeah, you already start something.
I know. You already know them students be over there trying to kick down them doors so quick.
We already know what would happen. So that's why I said you can restart something and talk like that, you know. So it looks like whatever they're this situation, it doesn't seem like there's been any fallback, but I wonder if they got security around there, you know, whether people came over there. Because, you know, we already know it only takes a few wahoos to go over there and cause some trouble.
Right.
You know, so I guess it's something that we'll see, we'll pay attention to, and we'll go on from there. So hopefully there's no problems over there, and hopefully everything, you know, seems to work out well for them. But it just tells you the signs of the time, man. We're in a whole different world these days. We really are. Right. You know, nothing and not everything makes sense anymore. You know, so yeah. So
Dave, we have some breaking news.
Uh oh.
Straight happened? From the news desk.
What?
Capitol Records severs ties with AI rapper FNN Mecca after he apparently used the N-word in one of his previous songs.
No, are you serious?
That's what it says here. Yep.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Right
animated there. Rapper FNN Mecca dropped from Capitol Records.
So, folks, 3 minutes ago. Wow.
Boy, FN Mecca came and left on us, huh?
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. What did I just say? How things change?
Yeah.
And wow. And they're talking about they're talking about like you're a real person too. That's what's so funny. Yeah. It's like, you know, because he said the N-word, you know. Right.
Like other rappers on Capitol Records aren't saying the N-word too. But
is this a ploy to get him signed to somebody big and make more money for him?
Maybe, because you already know somebody's going to pick him up just because he was signed before. You know what I mean?
And he already got he got 10 million followers on TikTok. Yeah. Who's going to let that walk
away? He got
away?
A song with Gunna.
Look, no. You know who's going to get him? Kanye. Kanye's going to get him. Watch. Ye going to go after him. Ye going to put him on the record and it's over then. Mm-hmm. Or either him or DJ Khaled. Either one.
Or maybe LeBron. Doesn't LeBron have that music? Is he signing music artists now too?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Jump on.
Yeah, well, his boy manages what you call him, his girlfriend, Rich Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I can't think of her name, but yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it'd be funny. Let's see who picks him up the first. Okay. Maybe Puffy. Anyway. So, wow, that's too funny. Now, that was the first for us, right? We had breaking news while we were
doing breaking news. You heard it first here, y'all.
Heard it first here. Okay. All right. Okay. Which takes us to, well, here we go. This is a perfect example of what I'm about to say now. Okay. You know, if Mecca had a chance to do what I'm about to talk about, you know, so every now and then, folks, we like to throw out a little philosophical question, you know, just to see where everybody's head is and what people are thinking about or how they would react, whatever would be the best way to deal with a certain situation or whatever. We got a lot of feedback last week on our question that we put out there last week about the $5 million indecent proposal. I definitely got a lot of feedback about that. That was interesting. So, but money does talk, people. I'll tell you that now. Money does talk. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. So, but today's topic and today's question is a different question. And let me see. Oh, hold on. I want to put this out exactly what I was thinking. So give me one moment. Okay, here we go. Here's the question, folks. If you had a do-over in life, or you know of someone who deserves a do-over, What do over from your or their life would it be? If you had a do-over in life, or you know of someone who deserves a do-over, what do-over from your or their life would it be? So that's the question. My partner, you know, do you have a do-over? Or can you think of somebody that you know that probably deserves a do-over for something that happened or something they did or whatever the case may be?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, when I first think of my do-overs, they're probably all vain. So, you know, like we done missed that crypto trend that made some people millionaire billionaires. You know, a couple of those lottery tickets, I would have switched up them numbers.
Then they became thousandaires, but go ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as main do-overs, probably one of my biggest ones, I would have switched my major in college. I would have made it something more to what I enjoyed and over something that I thought was just going to make money, because I didn't even stay in my career field long enough. But I mean, that'd probably be one. You know, of course, being a business owner, I mean, I can think of tons of do-over trends that I should have gotten off, that I should have rode the wave and than trends where I should have left them alone, but I mean, nothing too big. Yeah, I mean, if I think about other people who deserve do-overs, I mean, kind of hard to tell. So, I mean, I'll probably say a lot of people in jail, you know, I'm sure they probably want them do-overs. You know, one story I always think about is it the Central Park Five?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The kid who went down, he was being a friend. Well, how do you know that's a do-over? Yeah, I mean, do-overs are hard because, you know, everything, there's a lesson in everything. And, you know, just because your life goes one way doesn't mean it, you know, 10 years down the road, it's not going to turn out great that way. But definitely my college major. I want to preface with this. My do-overs are going to be things that I think may have been a smart move at the time, but I can't guarantee it looking back 20, 30 years. So college major, coming back to Delaware after college, I should have gone to Atlanta or Miami.
Okay.
You know, one of those places. And I mean, those are probably the biggest ones. I mean, everything else was a lesson, you know, even though all, you know, my relationships ain't work out, you know, I got two, you know, great kids and, you know, I'm healthy for the most part. What about you, Dave? I know you got a whole list.
Well, I mean, ain't too much different than your list, you know, so, you know, it's funny. I kind of mentioned this to you earlier about, you know, I if I had something to do over, I was a young father. I became a father at 19. Not saying that anything against my child or anything like that. I just wish that I was more mature at the time and been able to focus more at that particular time to be able to give her everything that I could have given her if I waited. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that would be, you know, the do-over as far as like pushing time, pushing it back a little bit. So I was more established at the time to be able to be her father. You know, gotcha. What I mean?
Can I play devil's advocate to that?
No, not at the moment. Because that's exactly what you get ready to do. And I don't want you to do at the moment. So it would have been with the same person. I mean, I wouldn't raise that either, you know. Yeah, so yeah. She's a great mother, you know. So of course in life, I mean, I'm 62 years old, so there's been a lot of things that I wish I could do over. And, nobody likes to fail at anything. There were some things I failed at. I would have loved to be able to go back and correct it, or maybe made a decision that wouldn't have put myself in those situations in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As far as somebody else, do over for somebody else, I always felt bad for my sister. My sister was always taking care of other people's children. Children just loved her. And especially my oldest child, she was very close with her. Everybody used to think that my oldest daughter was her daughter all the time. And, but she was dealt a bad hand that couldn't have children of her own.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always felt bad for her because I know she loved children and she would have been a great mother. And I just wish that, you know, she had a do-over to at least have one child of her own, you know, right. So she, you know, could have done that because she loved children. The other one of the biggest ones that I can truly, no, probably the biggest one, was a do-over with what went on with my mother when she passed away. It was sudden. It happened quickly. And I just wish that it was more time to maybe catch it and stop it from happening, because I just felt her life was cut short. And it happened. The most blessed thing I could say about the whole experience was that she didn't suffer. You know, she died within a week of finding out her diagnosis, and she didn't suffer. That was the good thing. But I just wish that she didn't have to go through that at that particular time and was able to live a longer life, because she was a wonderful person, and it was somebody that I truly, truly, at that particular time, I was hooked up with my wife and mm-hmm. trying to establish the family I had, and I didn't spend as much time with her at that particular time as I wish I could have.
Right.
And so that happening so quickly, man, if I could do it, if there could be a do-over, man, I would love to do that over, you know, just to spend more time with her and then not have her get sick like she did at that particular point.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's the major thing right there, because I just felt like she was just taken from us, you know? So that would be mine, among some other things, but that's mainly the things that I would talk about. I think we think about it. I mean, when you just, we look at all these situations we just talked about tonight. Mm-hmm. These are all do-over situations.
Right.
You know, so, you know, the guy that harassed the dude in Walmart, I'm sure he would like to do over. He said, I probably would let that dude just do whatever he wanted. He could have stole stuff. I wouldn't have said nothing to him.
Right.
You know, so, you know, the situation with the college and the housing that they have for these people, you know, of color and everything. I'm sure Berkeley, whatever led to that, there was something that led to that whole scenario. And I'm sure whatever that was, they would like to have a do-over for that as well. Our boy, FM Mecca.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Do-over right there.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have said something else in that lyric, you know, or they would have definitely come up with something else to say, you know, unless this is all a ploy to get him more money. Mm-hmm. You know, or to make more money from them, you know. So maybe they heard us talking about them, man. What do you think?
So the story came out an hour ago, so it was probably right around the time we started the podcast. But
okay.
I mean, you never know.
Yeah, there you go. So do-overs are always going to be around. They're always going to be. I'm sure. Look, the biggest do-over ever in history was when Eve Adam and Eve was like hanging out in the garden, and you know, Eve went on and took that bite and decided to talk to Adam about it, and Adam sitting there saying, man, I gotta make her happy, you know, we all been there.
You mm-hmm. know,
so, but there's the biggest do-over possibility right there, because that changed everything. You know what I mean? Everything. Yeah,
that is true.
So that's the ultimate do-over right there. So. But go ahead. I know you want to say something. Go ahead.
I'm just gonna do my little recap.
Go ahead.
But
go
I mean, I will say, you know, I think when it comes to like family and friends, you know, I think we always have those do-overs, because in general, you know, we become so used to stuff that I won't say we don't appreciate it, and I won't say we take it for granted, but you know, it's kind of like, if we think about some of the loss of family members and friends, you know, we wouldn't make do-overs to spend more time or go the extra mile or stuff like that. So I'm not going to ask my devil's advocate question, but well, you know, here, I'll ask it, but I don't need an answer for it.
Go ahead. Let
me hear. When you're talking about having kids at a young age, you know, one of the things we always hear about having kids is there's never the right time. So like, you know, if you thought you were going to be in a better position or you thought you were going to have money, and I get certain stuff, but you know, they always say, you know, there's never the right time to have kids, because whenever you have them, it's going to be on the job experience and you're never going to have enough time. You're never going to have enough money. You know, you're never going to be a good enough parent or, you know, all that stuff. So I'm just saying, I wouldn't beat yourself up over that.
Well, I will say this. One thing I've learned over the years, Leonard, in my life is God is the master when it comes to timing. He knows exactly what your life time schedule is on. So even though that I'm, you know, if I had a do-over, I would say I would have waited. He probably would have still said, nah, we still going to do this. You know, we still going to put you through this, because timing is, this is the time for it. And you have to go through this in order to shape your life for the things that are coming later on. And I think that's probably the way that you have to look at it, because, you know, there's something called predestination, and a lot of, you know, a lot of people believe in predestination, and it's just a lot of things that has to, you know, this just saying that there's things that were already laid out regardless of what you think. I mean, unless you gotta look, unless we can become AI individuals and be able to get a DeLorean and go back in time and be able to change some things, become Marty McFly and change some things, make Marty McFly like and change some things. Mm-hmm. It ain't gonna, you know, right. Things are still going to progress the way that they have. You know, look, through both of our lives, even though we have, you know, like a, what, 17-year age difference between us? Something yeah, like that?
24 or 30.
No, not that. It's 17. So here it is. It was arranged for two guys from two different eras to meet up someday and be able to do this, you know. So and we came, there's a lot of our stories, some of our stories are very similar,
right?
So it's just what it is. So folks, when you hear this and you listen to this and you think to yourself, what would be the do-over for you, or what would be the do-over that you would like to see for somebody else, or whatever the case may be, somebody close to you, or whatever the case may be. Because the reason that I say that is because I know my usual listeners, I'm sure I'll get feedback from them, and I always ask for feedback. I always want to know, because I always, you know, I share it with Leonard and I share with other people, you know, what people are saying. It's just interesting because the life that we're in right now, we just got finished talking about a NFT AI rapper, okay, who is making music with a real person, who has a single out with a real person, who got dropped from a label because of what he supposedly said. Now, this is not a real person, though.
Right.
Okay, this just tells you where we are in life right now, you know? So we just gotta look at things in a, you know, in a, I always call it a what if way, you know, that's what I call it, a what if way, because we got to be smart about what we're doing and what we're thinking. So that's basically where I am on it. You got anything to add?
No, I mean, I think you pretty much summed it up.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, I look forward to hearing what you have to say. And I know Leonard, sure Leonard is as well. So, but, you know, definitely make sure you reach out to us. Oh, I want to say special shout out to our buddy Omar Rashada. Rashada, I always say Rashada. I've said that for years and realized I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah.
Rashada, whose play is coming up this weekend on the 27th, Three Men, Three Women. So please go out and support that brother. 7 o'clock. At the Wilmington Drama League. Want to give him a shout out to because he's always looking out for me and Leonard all the time. So definitely Definitely go out and see this play. I'm sure you'll enjoy it when you go out to see it. We'll talk about it again on Friday. We got our weekend roundup coming up on Friday at 6 o'clock. Leonard and I will try to figure out how we're going to get back at each other for the last couple of weeks. You know, so if you've been listening, you know what I'm talking about. And then I guess we'll talk to everybody then. You got anything you want to add there?
Nope. That pretty much sums it up. Catch us on Friday, 6 p.m. Yeah,
that's Leonard Simmons, y'all. That's Leonard Simmons. You know what he did? He took his clothing from Russell Simmons on that. Yes, we want to thank everybody for listening. And you should be able to find tonight's show. Just tune into any of our station or channels. We're on everything, y'all. Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, Apple, YouTube. Look, all you got to do is, if you don't see us when it pops right up, I mean, when you go to search, just put us in with two Z's, News with a Z and Trends with a Z, and you'll find us. We're out there, y'all. We want to make sure that everybody's listening to us. All right? So with that being said, we're going to wish you a great night, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.